This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Stock up for the holiday. Stock up for your tailgate right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Always grateful to have with us somebody I've been friends with for decades now. And you cherish friendships like Rich Scarcella. Rich, thank you so much for the time you give us.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on regularly.
Rich, in the final few minutes of the Ohio State game, we saw what Ohio State did offensively starting at the one, and they ran the game out. And Jack Ham and I said, you know, that's a championship drive. The final 5:48 of the Minnesota game, could we give the same definition to what Penn State did and call that a championship drive?
It was, I don't know if it's going to win a championship per se, but it was certainly a championship caliber drive, no doubt about that. To run 12 plays and keep the ball away from Minnesota, never giving the Gophers a chance for a go-ahead field goal or a go-ahead touchdown, that was impressive. Only the most negative of people would not be impressed by that. And I did hear from a couple that, oh, that was not a big thing. I'm like, yeah, well, it was.
It was a huge thing. When you've got the kicker like that and it's a one-point game, you can't afford to give the ball up. And let's start with the fake punt because It's interesting. When I got back to the hotel, because I did not travel with the team back because I had to come here to Florida to do basketball, right? Who do I see at the elevator? Dominic Rulli's father, of all people. And that play, you're down there interviewing people afterward. What were some of the things that people told you about that play and the nuts and bolts of it and what he meant to it?
Well, James Franklin made that clear because I asked James the question about the fake punt, you know, how to come about, how long have you been working on it, that kind of thing. Why did you want to run it? He praised Dominic Rulli even before I asked the question. So we knew he was a big part of it calling, you know, what it was a little confusing. I didn't know if, like, Dominic had the right to call it, but he had a right to call it off if the look wasn't there. I did talk to Dom DeLuca. He was the only one. Like, we're not allowed to talk to Luke Reynolds because he's a true freshman. So right. Dom DeLuca was there, and he said it felt so good because they had been working on it since training camp. And
yes.
To finally, even he said as they lined up, he goes, this is going to work. He knew. So that it was impressive. It really was. It took a lot of courage, took a lot of guts to make the call, but the execution on it was almost flawless. You know, the blocking, you know, James mentioned Dakari Nelson today, made a great block. I think there were quite a few blocks that were made because there was nobody, I don't know if anybody laid a glove on Luke Reynolds until he got inside the 40. So it was impressive, to say the least.
It's the beginning of it, though, that's just as impressive to me, personally. When you think about what Tyler Dzanski has to do, when he makes a snap, it's always straight back, and he has to put it on Riley Thompson's right hip. When he makes an extra point or a field goal, it's straight on. He had to dramatically angle that snap and put it where Reynolds needed it. And to me, that's an unsung part of the play that speaks to the execution of it. I just wanted to at least give him credit.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No. He deserves a lot of credit. Yeah, because it wasn't like a straight direct snap back. It was angled because Reynolds was on the the third man of the three guys lined up to protect the punter. And here's the other one. Riley Thompson played out his fake very well.
Yep.
That's another thing. But like I said, I just think the execution, you're right, starting with Tyler Dusanski, but I mean, Luke Reynolds didn't get touched. And, until inside the Minnesota 40-yard line. And obviously, Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck gave credit to James because it was a hell of a call. And it was. Yeah. It was a hell of a call.
It was. And what Rooley has the option is to kill it. Okay, so everybody understands.
Yeah, not there. Yep.
The look's not there. And it's been called a few times this year, and each time the look wasn't there, and this time it was. But it's also a week where Donko's long-term, Alonzo Ford is long-term. Mm-hmm. They aren't the first long-term guys this season. What has this body of work that Penn State has, what has it said about their depth, Rich, as to how this has played out to at least put them in this spot?
Well, it's certainly, this is the first, I think it's the first really rough injury for the offensive line. And then they're going to adjust, and they have the depth to adjust. The defensive line is another story where, denied Dennis Sutton wasn't a long-term injury, but it affected him for several games. And now, you had Hakeem Beamon left the team earlier this year.
Yep.
And now you have Alonzo Ford, who hadn't played in 2 years. And now he was coming on very well, and then he gets injured on a play on which the Minnesota offensive lineman was holding him. There was no call. It's a shame. It's too bad. But they've lost. Tyler Warren on my mind. KJ Winston was a big loss, we thought, and it is because he's a terrific player.
Yeah.
But Jalen Reed and Zaki Wheatley have stepped up in a big way, and the depth at cornerback, how much depth is there, that has helped overcome Winston's injury. So, yeah, and then you have Nick Singleton, who, had a lower body injury, missed the UCLA game, and then, he's rounding back into form. It's obvious the last 2-3 games.
Oh, yeah. No, you could see. You could see a couple of weeks ago. I was watching practice. You could see the jump was there again, without question. You did bring up Tyler Warren.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when I do a lot of these interviews, I think what Warren does is so obvious, I don't usually bring him up because we'll talk about other things. But now we've watched a full season of this, and he's still making catches and plays despite the fact that, Rich, he's got to be the number one guy in the scouting report.
Yeah. Steve, early on you could see Minnesota was paying a lot of attention to him, and then I think Andy Kotelnicki made some adjustments, and especially at halftime, and he came out of that third quarter, and they were getting the ball to him. Drew was getting the ball to him. I want to say something on that last play, fourth and one from the 14, with 27 seconds to go. Talk about a play! I mean, the original, the primary target was Nick Singleton in the right flat.
There was
a corner and a linebacker who drifted over toward him. Drew stops in his tracks, turns to his left. Tyler Warren's waving his arms, and he lobs. He's wide open, and he falls down at the 3-yard line to end the game. I mean, there were 20 seconds left, but Minnesota had no timeouts left. You talk about execution by all of those guys, and the other thing is that Drew wanted that play, and James Franklin confirmed it, about an hour or so ago at his weekly press conference. And to have the presence of mind and the composure to go, oh, Knicks covered. Oh, I got to change. And Drew finds Tyler Warren, who ran his route. He didn't stop. He ran his route. He did what he was supposed to do, of course. And he was wide open.
And as outstanding a freshman as Coy Parrish is, the safety for Minnesota, and he is a terrific player. Guess who lost Warren on the play?
He did. Oh, yeah. You could see him, his reaction right out, you know, as soon as Tyler fell to the ground. And he had the same reaction on the fake punt, because I think he made the tackle on the fake punt, you know, at the Minnesota 34.
Yeah.
He's a terrific player. He has a great career ahead of him.
I mean, of all the things. Now, on the fake punt, he's just trying to make – he's backing. He's
yeah,
back
no,
to
no,
receive the punt.
No, the fake punt's not on him. I mean, he's the returner. No.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody had to save them, and he did.
Yeah.
it was a tough, hard-fought football game at this stage of the season. What did you learn on Saturday that maybe you weren't sure about and found out?
Wow. What did I learn on Saturday other than, I mean, we've seen Penn State come from behind before this, you know, earlier this year. I mean, several times.
Sure.
Bowling Green, USC, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew they were resilient. You knew they were going to play well in the second half, and they did. We did. I mean, I think Nolan Rucci had a pretty good game replacing Donko after he was hurt on the second play.
I agree.
The one thing I did notice, Steve, on that drive to end the game is that the two guys who touched the ball, and I'm not counting Drew because he's a quarterback, he touches in every play, were Tyler Warren and Nick Singleton, the two best offensive weapons. And I think my guess is that the Penn State coaching staff may have learned a lesson from the goal line situation against Ohio State, where neither one of them touched the ball. And they were productive, both of them.
Yeah.
You know, were productive on that drive. And Drew, I didn't learn this because I've known this. Drew's a tough son of a gun.
Oh, you know what? I'm not so sure. Look, I think a lot of people appreciate, Penn State fans appreciate Drew a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure the critics, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I don't think people understand what an incredibly high level their quarterback is playing at right now.
I will agree with you on that. I think the fact I wrote about him last week. He's in complete command of the offense. Knows who's in, who's on the field, who's not, and that's not easy because of all the personnel changes play by play with Andy Kotelnicki. But he is in complete command. I don't know if there's ever been a time this season, and I can't remember one that he looked panicked in the pocket. I don't remember. I can't remember.
Right.
So I just think that. And then I didn't think he threw the ball. That was not his best throwing game, especially early on. He missed some open receivers. But then you look at the end of the game, and he had a great second half. He was 21 for 28. And, that secondary, as you know, leads the Big Ten with 16 interceptions, and there was only one pass that it was a tip pass in the first half that came close to being intercepted.
That's right.
I think he's playing terrific. I don't think he'll get the postseason recognition that he deserves because he doesn't have 30 touchdown passes or 4,000 yards. Yeah, I'm just throwing numbers out. Even though he's fifth in the country in efficiency, and I wrote this in the real critical stat, yards per attempt, he was third. I think he's still third. I'd have to look again this week.
Right.
But I think he's been really impressive.
It was also an interesting weekend where a lot of playoff contenders lost. What does it tell us about the balance of college football, in your opinion? And what does it tell everybody about Penn State's position in that balance?
Yeah. Well, it tells you these super conferences, when you're expanding, some schools better be careful what they wish for, because, you know, you're playing a lot of teams that were in other conferences that I wouldn't, not necessarily all of them are blue bloods, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of tradition in a lot of these programs, like in Oklahoma. You would have never seen that coming. I mean, I never saw that coming, Oklahoma dismantling Alabama like it did.
I never saw that.
There is
never
a lot of parity in this, in college football. And, you know, once Penn State lost to Ohio State, for them, you don't want to put the decision about the college football playoff in the hands of the committee. To me, it was win in advance, survive in advance. And that's exactly what Penn State did Saturday. They survived in advance. And, you know, they're 24-point favorites against Maryland on Saturday. You know, 11-1, I don't care who you're playing, is a pretty good season. And they're going to get a home game in the playoff, probably.
The expression I used in the Ohio State postgame show, I said, look, it didn't go the way everybody hoped. You know, I'm talking about the fans as they're listening on their car radios leaving. I said, the way you wanted to. I said, but I want to let everybody know, you're now in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how I phrased it then, and I've been counting it down. Now it's a one-game playoff to make the playoff. You win Saturday, okay, there's no – okay, two lost teams are in the opinion pool. A one-loss team is not.
No. No, including Indiana. If
that's
Indiana,
right.
As they should win this week, they've got to be in at 11-1.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, 11-1 locks up the ends. There are no arguments about whether you're in the field or not in the field. Now, there'll still be some people, I don't understand why, but still some people who argue that Penn State shouldn't get a home game. At 11-1, that's beyond me. I don't understand that. But the fact is, if Penn State wins Saturday, the Lions will have a home game in the playoff on the 20th or 21st of December.
Rich, outstanding as always. Thanks so much. I just always enjoy the conversations. And your Packers looked good yesterday.
They did.
Yeah.
We're happy Packers fans. A few of us on the Penn State beat. We're very happy.
There are more Packers fans on this Penn State beat than people realize.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's you know, Audrey Snyder and Daniel Gallen we're all Packers fans, and we text each other during games, and it's very enjoyable.
and very
frustrating at times.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's good. It's not going to be perfect. Could be worse. You could be a Giants fan. I'm trying to think who that might be.
That's rough.
Best thing that ever happened to Saquon Barkley was to get out of there and go to Philadelphia. Couldn't have worked out any better. Yep, great for him. Rich, thanks so much. And to you and that great family of yours, and they are great. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you and your family, Steve. Stay warm down there.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I'm okay for the moment. Talk to me tomorrow night when I get off. Talk to me tomorrow night when I get off the plane.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rich. All right, we'll come back in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Game time or just fun time, doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And, of course, we're in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, more coming up in the next half hour, but then I'm off to the Ocean Center. Interesting place. I mean, it's... you can tell they put a stage at one end of it because they put concerts in there and so forth, but it's really kind of a horseshoe. Interesting. But they've got Fordham today. And Fordham, by the way, former Nittany Lion Abdul Timbila is their starting center. Keith Urgo, the former Penn State assistant, associate head coach here for 10 years, is the head coach of Fordham. He's done a great job there. But is it a game where Penn State is... the favorite, no question. And by the way, one quick note. You can't get out of here without mentioning the Penn State women's soccer team. Erica Dombach's team is in the Elite Eight again. What a run. They came into this, the 22nd ranked team in the country, and they keep winning. They're in the Elite Eight. They're one win away from the College Cup. How about that? That's phenomenal. All right, Todd. You be good.
You as well. Have a good call.
I've got Dick Girardi. I'm okay. if I foul it up, I've got him. He'll make it all sound great. We're good. It's like football. I got Jack Ham. I don't worry. If I foul it up, I got the best in the business sitting next to me. I'm fine. Hey. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate all of you out there very, very much. We don't have you. We don't have a show.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They carry care of all your insurance needs. And do a great job of saving you money wherever they can. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we open up here with the best in the business, Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner, now in the 21st season together. DJ, first of all, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. I always look forward to it. I'm 10 miles from Mifflin Town, so what could be better?
Life is so good. All right, so... the old point guard in you, I want to bring in Ace Baldwin. When you watch him as a point guard, both ends of the floor, what are you seeing now that maybe we didn't even see at this time a year ago?
Yeah, so people understand the difference. The old playground point guard in me, I was never Ace Baldwin. We grew up in the same city, but that was the end of the resemblance on how good we were. I see a guy who does everything, Steve. And what was fascinating about Friday night in Baltimore, in his hometown, he got this weird technical foul at the end of the first half, which was also his third personal, which could have kind of disrupted things. Instead, he came out and played better in the second half. He was great, dominated the game, never got his fourth foul, and saw everything, was totally disruptive on defense. I mean, he leads everything that Penn State does. For people that don't know, they now lead the country in steals per game at 15.3. Also lead the country in turnover margin, a little over 10 a game. And it's not just because of Ace, but he's the key to it. He and Nick Kern would be right at the top of that list. And offensively, he sees the game in slow motion. He's fast, but he sees everything slow. He can score. He can get guys the ball in the right spot. He's just a consummate point guard. Look, I don't know who the best point guard in the country is, quote unquote, but he's at the very least, he's in the conversation.
What has Penn State's speed, length, and depth meant to their ability to press?
changed everything. It's, as Mike said to us, Coach Rhodes, after the St. Francis game, when I asked him, and it was a setup question, I said, what's the resemblance between this year and last year at this time? He said, none. And that's correct, right? Much deeper, bigger, faster, play the style that Mike and the whole staff played it so effectively at VCU. Steve, it's changed the way the opponents have to play because Penn State is basically making them play their way. Like Virginia Tech, for instance, wanted to play a lower possession, half-court, run-your-offense kind of game, and they never were able to run their offense with a very few exceptions. And Penn State turned them over more than 20 times. That never happens to Mike Young teams, but it did happen. And it was interesting. Last night I watched Marquette play Purdue.
Right.
And I wanted to watch for a number of reasons. I hadn't seen Purdue yet. And obviously, Shaka Smart, Mike was on Shaka's staff at VCU, and they play the kind of the same way, have some of the same types of players. And I said to myself, I think this is going to be really effective against Purdue, and was it ever? And I think that's going to give you an indication of what might happen on December the 5th when the Big Ten opener, when Purdue comes to the Jordan Center. It's the first time we've been able to say this in quite a while, Steve. Penn State's every bit as good as Purdue.
Right. And you and I have thought that, but now watching them, because I did see, now Alabama plays a different style. But Friday night I saw Purdue and Alabama. All right. Uh-huh. And Purdue played well. But they don't play the same way as Marquette or Penn State. Completely different style. Because on offense, they just want to get the ball into a spot, free throws, threes, and layups. And at the other end, they're just trying to transition to offense.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Look, Marquette point guard Cam Jones had a triple-double last night. And I think that's going to be an indicator of what Ace is going to be able to do. He's just so quick. And Purdue doesn't have a phenomenal amount of quickness, and we're getting away from the actual team they're playing tonight, which is also Purdue Fort Wayne, which you can get to in a second. But I just think they match up nicely with Purdue, and obviously Purdue's completely different with Ad Eden and Lance Jones. So I think the Big Ten, if Purdue's the favorite, and I think they are coming into the season just because of what they've done, and deservedly so, I get it. I mean, they've been the best team in the league for years now. Penn State's on a par. And I probably haven't seen much of anybody at this point, but I don't think there's anybody in the league that's playing any better than Penn State's playing right now.
We mentioned the depth, and Yannick didn't have a particularly good game on Friday night, but Kachi Enze stepped in. We all know about the weight he's lost because he had strep throat and was out for a period of time, but what does a presence of a player like that tell you about what Penn State can bring to the table?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? So Yannick was their best player through the first couple of games, right? Got in foul trouble in the St. Francis game. Still played fine, but he just was not on the floor a lot. And he just didn't have it Friday night. He was in foul trouble. He was never comfortable. He just seemed out of it. But in past years, Steve, that would have been it. They would have been done. They would have had nobody to put in. Kachi Enze is a terrific player, and he's playing out of position. He's not really a five-man. He's more of a four-man. But now that he's starting to get his wind back after he got sick, I mean, he was jumping out of the gym. He was defending all over the place. He was in the middle of a lot of things, rolling to the rim hard, finishing strong. And, yeah, Penn State would have never had a backup like that. And, frankly, their backup five-man isn't even playing yet.
Right.
And he hasn't gotten on the court. So that's how deep they are. And Eli Rice didn't play the other night. They're a legitimate. They have 12 legitimate players. I haven't seen enough Kenutse Moore yet to know what his story is. But if he's good enough, they might have 13 guys that you could say, hey, you know what? They could actually play. And now five of the players obviously from this year will not be back. But that means you're having eight back, and you've got three that they just signed, a really high-class recruiting class, the highest-rated in school history, number 19 in the country. I think we saw it happening last year with Coach Rhodes and the staff with the job they did. Steve, I think the future is really bright, but forget the future. It's all about this season.
Right.
This team has high, high potential.
Look, Virginia Tech is an ACC team. You put them against any one of the three teams that Penn State had played before, they would be a double-digit favorite, safe to say, over each one. So what did Friday night in Baltimore tell you?
Tell me everything we thought we were seeing was accurate. Really, Virginia Tech was never in the game. It was 15-2. Penn State let up a little bit late in the first half. Just maybe took some shots they shouldn't have taken, some other things. But you could see the difference in the teams. And it was obvious. Virginia Tech is very inexperienced, especially on the wings and point guard. And it was just a question of what Penn State had imposed its will, which it did at the beginning of the second half when the game was over. I would actually say, Steve, watching Purdue-Fort Wayne, and I watched their game against UCF.
Yes.
I think Purdue-Fort Wayne is better than Virginia Tech. I don't care that they're in the Horizon League. They have veteran guys. They have guys that have won a lot of games. They were really close to beating UCF, and you said, well, wait a second, what's UCF? UCF is beating Texas A&M and Florida Atlantic. They're undefeated. They're very good. And they had a late lead on them until they get tired. I'm talking Purdue-Fort Wayne. But 21 games last year, they won a collegeinsider.com final game, championship game. They're good. This is going to be the biggest test so far. Their issue is they have very little depth, and they're small. That just on tape, that would be, I think, Penn State's big advantage. Now, if they turn them over 20 times like they've been doing everybody else, then I don't know who's going to withstand it, because this team has veterans, smart guards. They're really well coached. If Penn State can get these same kind of steals and runouts against this team, and they might. They may very well, then look out.
Because they have three, not most teams have a primary scorer. They have three primary scorers, and I watch the tape all the way through. But it's one of those where because you see the name, you watch the tape, you're seeing a good basketball team.
No question. And again, they're the classic mid-major team. John Kaufman has been their coach for a while. They run some good stuff. They believe in what he's going to do. And I'm telling you, they are not going to be intimidated at all. They were not at UCF, which is, I think, going to be a very good team in the Big 12 this year off what I saw. This is to me, is the biggest test. And it'll tell you something about the maturity of the team, which I think they have. All right, they went to Baltimore. They hammered Virginia Tech. It was the first game. You said, all right, well, let's see what they got. Well, they showed you what they had. They won big again. Now can they bring it again? They've really had... maybe, I don't know, what are we talking about, 40 times, 160 minutes of basketball.
Right.
They've maybe played 25 or 30 minutes, not up to the standard.
Yeah.
The rest of it's been great. And if you can get that kind of percentage, that's going to lead you to a great season. This team's going to ask a few questions of Penn State tonight, but we'll see if they can answer them. But my suspicion is they will be able to. Again, the biggest edge Penn State is going to have, and they're still faster, even though this team's pretty quick. They're certainly quicker than Virginia Tech was, but they're just not that big, and I think Penn State's going to be able to potentially dominate around the rim. But having said that, their big guys are not bad. I mean, they got a really good shooter. I mean, that's all he does is shoot threes.
Yeah,
they're big kid around the rim. He's only 6'8", but he's very smart. He knows what he's doing.
Mulder.
So Mulder. This is going to be interesting tonight to see how Wake can send that one kid. I just don't have much thing in front of me. He's taken, 22 shots on the year. 21 of them have been three, so we know what he's been doing.
Right. He basically tells everybody, this is what I do. So that's what he does.
And they run some great stuff for him, Steve. Yeah. I mean, they know what he does well. I think he's 11 of 22 with threes.
All right, a kid like Nick Kern, second year in the program, has spent every year with Mike. He came up big against Virginia Tech. What does a guy like that mean, especially a guy that's not starting, but it seems to be embracing the coming off the bench and playing?
He was great Friday night. In fact, he's been great in all four games. He's a tremendous finisher around the rim. And Mike has said, and I don't argue with it, there's no better press defender in the country than Nick Kern, because he's so quick. He's got great anticipation. He knows the defense. And he's tall. I mean, he's got really long arms. He gets deflections. He gets steals. And he's really fast end to end. And, you know, Steve, you weren't there Friday night. Obviously, you're waiting for the football game the next day. And I'm not sure whether you got a chance to watch the tape or not yet, or you saw it live. But there were some plays in that game, not just by Nick, but, I mean, by so many of the different players on the team, where you just say, man, they really understand what the coaches want them to do. There was a play late in the first half when Javon Carter, the freshman, was in there. And he made three different defensive moves on the same sequence when Virginia Tech had the ball, and he ended up stealing it. They were just like next level stuff. And I'm going, whoa. So, yeah, I think people can look forward to a lot of good stuff from this team, not just tonight, not just next week in Florida, but all through the rest of the non-con and into the Big Ten.
Give me Hudson Ward, we've already talked about. We know Goodman's been out. But the two freshmen that have been playing, Carter and Stewart, are a pair of 3,000-point high school scorers. What is the potential you see in them?
Yeah, the program is in good hands. I think that's what's telling you. Look, Ace Baldwin and Zach Hicks and Puff and Nick Kern and DeMarco, you know, this is it for them, right? And it's going to be awesome. I think they're going to have a great year. They're going to be an NCAA team, contend for the Big Ten title. All that stuff is there for them. But they don't get an extra year. This is it. They're done. So, yeah, you're looking, what can Javon Carter do? What can all the young guys do? I think the program's in great hands. They've already got some experience. As the games get closer, they're not beating everybody in the Big Ten by 30 or 40 or 50, they're probably going to get a little less playing time. But that's all right. They're getting playing time now. Practices will help them. They'll be ready to contribute to keeping the program going next year, along with the guys that have eligibility left and the guys that are coming in. But yeah, I see a lot of possibilities there. They can both score. I think they have real high basketball IQs. I think the program's in a good spot. The coaches have done a great job of recruiting.
You and I saw Zach Hicks last year, and you saw him at Temple as well. How much better is Zach Hicks this year, and where is he better?
Here's how much better he is, Steve. I'm about to start texting some of my NBA contacts saying, you got to come watch this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'8". He's always had the great shooting form. He just didn't have a lot of confidence last year halfway through the season. Then it clicked. Then and Mike was on him the whole time. Look, you got to play defense. The coaches stuck with him. He's become a terrific defender. He's obviously a phenomenal shooter. I think he can play at the next level. That's how much better he's gotten. Because what is the thing they love in the NBA more than anything else? Guys that can shoot
the ball.
Well, he can shoot it, and he's 6'8", and now he's gotten to the point where you can put him on just about anybody and feel comfortable. I mean, he's in the middle of getting steals and deflections, and it's not just Ace and Nick Kern. I mean, it's everybody, but certainly Zach is in the middle of all of that. I think he's got next level potential. And would I have said that this time last year? No, I wouldn't. So no. That's a tribute to him and a tribute to the coaches.
Okay, Yannick. Look, we've seen some really good stuff from him. And this actually is one of the questions I did ask Mike in the pregame show about what will it take for him to be playing at a consistently high level. Now, when he has struggled, he's had great moments, but there's had a couple moments of struggle. When he has, why?
Yeah, I think it to me, Steve, Friday night, and I know I texted you, it looked like it was weird. It looked like he'd never played the game before.
Right.
It was just bizarre. I mean, he was doing stuff like trying to dribble with his offhand down the lane line against pretty active and athletic defenders, Virginia Tech. And he had foul trouble, and they were all legitimate fouls. There was not a bad call among them. I just think he lost his confidence. And when you lose confidence sometimes, you just forget how to do the things that should be coming naturally. So I think there's some of that. But the good news is the skill is there. The skill's not going anywhere. I mean, you have it. You've worked on it. You have it. So now it just becomes, can he show that skill that we've seen in a number of the games, game after game after game? Because they're really going to need him in the Big Ten. I mean, they're going to have a legitimate five-man who can play all the way to the three-point line, which he can do, which gives them something unique in the league. As you know, most of the five men in the league are back of the basket, throw the ball to the low post guys. So he can do that, too. But, yeah, they're going to need it consistently. They're not going to need, you know, no over-the-back second fouls like against St. Francis and no no-shows like Friday night in Baltimore. That just, fortunately, they didn't need him Friday night. But they're going to need him in a lot of these games starting in December for sure.
What does a guy like Puff Johnson, not only in terms of his basketball skill, but his communication ability on the floor, mean to what we're seeing for Penn State, especially on the defensive end?
He tipped the game at the beginning of the second half Friday night. Again, I think Penn State would have gotten there eventually. Puff got him there faster. Passing lanes, understanding concepts. Great teammate, wonderful guy who was looking for the right home after 3 years at North Carolina, and he found it. And look, I think he's a plus shooter. I think he's very good shooting. He can certainly finish. And he's become a great team defender, understanding how Penn State wants to play. And he's got those long arms. He can get to the passing lane. And maybe more than anything else, I think it's pretty clear, Steve, that he's a leader. Guys look up to him. They listen to him. And he's kind of like the, you know, there's the head coach, there's the three assistants, there's Joe Crespin, and then there's Bob Johnson. I think he's one of those guys.
I will see you in a little bit, my friend. Appreciate it.
I look forward to it. I'm passing Walnut Street in Lewistown. Could it be any better than that?
Yeah, that would be passing the Big Cow in Bowlesburg. That means you're almost there.
I rarely do that anymore. I stay on the bypass.
Oh, you do? Well done. Well done.
So I don't see the. Maybe I'll stop by and say hi to the cow.
Just give it a quick wave.
There we go. Sounds good. See you in a couple hours.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. Dick Girardi joining us in State Basketball coming up today. And looking forward to it. Again, they've played so well to this point. And here they are now up to the Sunshine Classic. Yes, this is part of the Sunshine Classic. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Those are just examples of insurance needs I think we all have. At least some of them. Not all, but some. They'll take care of all of them. And save you money in the process. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The holidays are filled with traditions. Why not start a new one this year by getting up to an additional $1,000 off a new Kia? It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia for exceptional holiday deals on all the popular Kias. And get up to $1,000 additional off on select models. 2024 Kia Sorentos have 0% financing for 48 months and start as low as $28,495. 2025 Sorentos have 1.9% for 60 months. And there's 16 to choose from. 2025 Kia Sportages have 1.9% financing for 60 months and start under $30,000 with 24 on the lot. And there's 21 2024 and 2025 all-wheel drive Kia Tellurides starting at just $39,995. Celebrate the holidays during the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. For details, see dealer or go to Kia.com.